Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beneath Vancouver Radio. Hopefully, you're having a wonderful day. Thank you for tuning in, episode number 43. We are continuing that goal of an episode a week. So far, we're by the time you're listening to this, there's going to be this is the third episode, I believe, of the year. So we're definitely kicking off 2021 with a great start. And speaking about kicking off 2021 with a great start, I have another amazing guest here on the show. Beck, how are you doing today?
I am doing so good. Thanks so much for having me on the show. Love this Beneath Vancouver stuff you're working on.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time. And honestly, like every guest is like, thank you. But at the other side, like I wouldn't be able to do this without people taking the time, right? To come out and have a chat with me. And, you know, we've only really known each other for a little over 3 weeks now, right? Our first conversation was earlier this year. And you found out about kind of what I do again through the podcast. So a big shout out to everyone who tunes in and shares. And, you know, this is just the power that this podcast has, I think, and the impact of really reaching different people that I wouldn't have been able to talk to otherwise. So thank you again. And thank you to all our listeners. We are really, really doing well so far in 2021 and continue to push forward for the months to come. But without further ado, obviously, for all our guests and our listeners who know kind of how I start each episode, the famous question, the golden question is, Beck, who are you today?
Who am I today? A snapshot of who I am. I am a digital marketer / copywriter for a startup right now. We haven't launched yet, but it's leading up to that, which is awesome. I am also the co-founder of the 7-Day, 7 a.m. Challenge, which I'm super passionate about. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, I'm super passionate about flow, productivity, discipline, and this all kind of ties in together with happiness and our morning routines pretty much.
Yeah. No, that sounds great. And thank you for that little nice little elevator pitch almost. I know sometimes it's hard to really be able to almost show in such little few words in such little time to be really able to describe everything that you do. So I appreciate it's not easy. But let's jump right into it. Obviously, I think near the end of that little thing that you just said and kind of your introduction, you touched upon the importance of obviously night routines and morning routines and discipline. Those are things that you're really interested and passionate about. So let's chat about a little bit more about those things, because I know, for example, that's something that I struggled and also continue to struggle with on a daily basis, is solidifying both those morning and night routines. And I think especially now it's much more difficult to kind of diversify those routines because we're almost repeating the exact same thing every single day, right? Unfortunately, being stuck at home and living in this world that we're currently in. But let's chat a little bit more about that and kind of how you yourself got involved in kind of figuring that out.
Yeah, sure. So my life used to be super unstructured, and that kind of put me into a really depressive state, especially since COVID. We can't really see our friends. We can't really see our family members. I currently live not with my family. And so it just became into this downward spiral of like, oh shoot, like I've been sleeping at 1 and waking up at 10, like just really wild stuff like that. I didn't
Netflix,
love it.
Netflix, everything, yeah.
all that. And I got sucked into YouTube a lot and, you know, watching Claire's Bon Appetit videos, and it's just really bad. But, you know, in all seriousness, like that really put me in this really tough spot because I didn't have a job and I was just losing money. I was like, oh, shoot, I'm like reaching $200 in my bank account. What am I doing with my life? And it's not easy graduating from UBC and not getting a job. I didn't really look for one. I was like, oh, just having fun in the summertime.
Right.
And after being unemployed for 8 months, I kind of realized like, oh, I actually do need to, you know, pick up my pace and start looking for a job. And I didn't realize, but morning and night routines are pretty much my life savior, on top of manifesting and journaling. And what's really cool about that is it takes time. It takes time, but once you kind of build that habit, it's pretty amazing how far it can get you. So that's a good introduction on my background.
No, I like that a lot. And I think especially you mentioned the difficulty in that little kind of like spiral, so to speak, that you went through in not only graduating. And I think graduating in general is scary and obviously a very anxious point of everyone's lives, but also graduating in the climate that we're in right now, I think just like 10x is that uncertainty and that kind of like, what am I to do now? And obviously with the economic climate going down and, you know, a lot of jobs being cut down and stuff like that, it's sometimes gives you the sense of, oh no, like, what do I do next? And I think especially, you know, it's okay to be in that state, but it's also the, once you get out of it is when you kind of figure out like, wow, this is kind of what I not necessarily need to do, but what I want to do now. And these are the next few steps of my life. Kind of what was that sort of introduction though for you? Because obviously, as you mentioned, there's a bit of a spiral and some difficulty within those like kind of 8 months. Was it just like one day I'm going to wake up and do the morning routine and the night routine, or what was that spark, right? There had to be a moment, an aha moment.
Okay. The aha moment's interesting. So one day I was just super, super down on myself. I didn't have a life purpose. I was like, what am I doing here? Right. And my partner, Tam, who's my co-founder of the 7-day, 7 a.m. challenge, he paid for a spot for us to actually attend a 5 a.m. challenge led by Josh Frock and Brian Carew. And so that was 5 a.m. wake ups for 5 days. And honestly, it was really great because it got me to future pace and manifest seriously for every single day. And after I did that challenge, I was like, okay, that was great. But 5 a.m. is just not sustainable for me. Like, I wake up at 5 and then I just like want to die by 11. So it's not the best. And so we kind of just started the 7 a.m. challenge with some friends for free. And after, everyone was like, oh, okay, that was really good. When's the next one happening? Are you going to do another one? And we're just right. Like, oh, this is pretty cool. And so once we started... Oh, my cat she just pushed over the entire pile of books.
Hope she's okay.
Yeah, she's okay. So we kind of had to develop a better morning and night routine, because if we're leading people every single day, we have to get up at 7 a.m. and be there and show up, be accountable for everybody. And so that was the spark. It was the sign up of the 5 a.m. challenge. I was like, I have nothing to lose. I might as well just wake up at 5 in the morning and see how that goes. So pretty crazy.
No, yeah. It's those kind of moments where you don't really ever know, like, the smallest, what seems small at the time, like just as simple as signing up for a challenge or, you know, for some people it's reading a book, for others it's getting out of your comfort zone. It really leaves a lifelong impact, really. That's what it boils down to, right? And I think that's the importance of that. So let's dive, I think, even more deeper into that, like morning and night routines. Like what, if you don't mind sharing, like what is exactly like your, maybe right now, your morning and night routine, and what does that kind of like consist of?
Yeah, so let's start with night routines, because I'm super interested in sharing with everybody how night routines kind of set you up for a successful morning. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't talk about the night routine so much. They're always like, do morning routine, you got to meditate, you got to write, you got to like go for a run. But how can you do any of that when your night routines suck and you're like waking up groggy? So night routines are really important for me. And a big one is, you know, cleaning up my space. And that's called resetting my space. I reset it so the next morning, everything's going to be great. And afterwards, I would obviously do my brushing teeth and washing face routine. And then I dive into reading, whether it's reading a fiction, nonfiction book, doing journaling. It's all done in a really, really safe and good space in my bedroom. And after we do like an hour or two of reading and writing, we would just turn off all the lights. We would turn off the lights by 9 p.m. and light some candles, because candles actually emit red light, telling your body like, hey, it's sunset. This red light is giving you the warmth and emanating this really great sunset light instead of blue light that we get from light bulbs and from our phones. And so the candle will just kind of tune in with your body and go like, okay, it's almost time to sleep. So your body just starts to naturally go into this rhythm of, okay, I'm getting sleepy. This is nice. So candles are really, really useful to fall asleep within like 15 minutes. And it's been working out for me really, really well. And so obviously, a lot of people also do stretching in the nighttime. And this is what we kind of show everybody in the 7 a.m. challenge. We kind of show them the stretches that we love and that can put your body right to sleep. So it's been a really, really good night routine for me. And one more important thing is turning off my tech. I actually committed to turn off my technology at 7 p.m. And that means getting all of my side projects done after my day job is over. Mm-hmm. And so that's really difficult because I have a small time to like crunch all of my side project stuff in, right? You understand, because you have your day job and your passion projects. Mm-hmm. And so 7 p.m., turn off my computer, leave my phone away from me. And that just kind of signals my brain like, okay, wind down time, time to turn off everything else that's going to, you know, get me to consume other people's stuff. Like, just no more consuming, and just start producing my own content on my with my journaling sessions, right? So that's my night routine. And going into mornings are interesting now because I have to incorporate the 7 a.m. challenge. But on days where I have to work my day job, it starts at 9. I tend to wake up at 6 or 6:30 so I can get that time to read or eat a frog. And this is an interesting one. We talked about this earlier, eating the frog, the important tasks versus the urgent tasks that we have to do. And so when I read, I actually have time to read because, like, honestly, with my day job, it's really hard to like even take a break from it sometimes. So reading is a really good way to like ground myself before the day starts. And on top of that, eating the frog and my frog. Actually, wait, let me just explain what eating the frog is.
It's not an actual frog, just to make sure that everyone's clear on that. Because you said eating the frog after some, like, I wonder if she's going to explain it because there's probably listening right now and they're like, wait, why is eating a frog a part of your morning routine? So let me explain that to the listeners right now.
Yeah. So eating the frog, it comes from this concept of Brian Tracy's book. And he talks about doing your most important tasks over your urgent tasks. Mm. So let's say you're a student, your task, your urgent task is to go to class. And if your class starts at 8 a.m., then you got to do your important tasks before your 8 a.m. class. And those important tasks would be anything that you're super passionate about and that you want to grow in skills as a person. So for example, my important task is to write. And writing is just a really tough thing because like I really want to just sit down and like be able to write creatively and make awesome shit. But sometimes the creativity just doesn't inspire me. And like, I don't have creativity in the morning, but if I eat the frog in the morning and I sit down and write, no matter how bad it is, I at least did some writing and it's contributing to my future self, right? My day job is my day job. My future self comprises of like getting 10,000 newsletter subscribers or writing on my personal Medium account and just increasing that following, right? So eating the frog is writing. And that is part of my morning routine. It gets me going because once you eat the frog, you know that everything else you do in the day doesn't really matter because you already done your important task. Mm-hmm. And why we say important and urgent is because important stuff, you can always say, oh, I can do this later. Like, I don't need to do this right now. You can always put it off. So urgent tasks, like, for example, taking your kids to school, or let's say urgent task is to clean the kitchen. Nah, you can always do that later. But important task, just grasp it now and do it early in the morning before you start anything else. And you're going to find that your mind is so clear and so free because you know that you're working towards incrementally your future self, which is so cool.
Yeah. I like that. There we go. People now are a little bit more aware of what eating the frog means. We didn't mean to scare anyone, you know, we're not eating any frogs here.
Yeah. I just love, Baby Yoda from The Mandalorian.
Right.
He eats the frog and I just love that little gif. Oh gosh. I just like see it online. It's so funny.
Yeah. Are you not on a completely irrelevant side tangent? Are you like caught up fully, like season 2?
I am caught up fully.
Me too.
I love really it. Good
season. Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
We won't spoil anything else for those who haven't watched it yet. And I don't have a Disney Plus sponsorship, so you still got to pay the full price or anything. So I mean, if anyone from Disney is tuning in, I'm happy to chat. You can reach me. You know where to reach me. So moving aside that, and I thank you as well for sharing that. I think obviously the importance of, you know, your morning and the night routine, and then also highlighting the kind of how they go hand in hand, right? It's not so much separate, but you're setting up for your success the night before, so that in the morning you can eat the frog, you can do all these different things that are kind of important to you and to your future self, as you had mentioned. But you talked about as well journaling, right? And I think that's one of the things that I've noticed, at least recently, that has really helped me in terms of different formats, whether it's to clear the mind, to set goals. There's different ways where journaling can really help you. How has journaling and the experience of journaling helped you in your path to, you know, I guess, quote unquote, be more productive, or to even write yourself goals for your future self 6 months, 3 months, a year from now? How's that experience been for you?
Yeah. So I actually started journaling when I was like 10. Mm-hmm. And during high school, I stopped. But since university, I picked it back up again. And honestly, journaling was not beneficial for me at all before, because all I wrote about was the heartbreaks and the stupid classes I have to take and all this anxiety. And what is the point of writing all the negative stuff in your journal? Nothing. Mm-hmm. And so it didn't serve me at all. And actually, the start of 2020 last year, I watched a Nathaniel Drew video, and he talked about his bullet journaling journey. And I kind of want to share it with everybody.
Yes, please. That's why we do video now, because we can share.
So this is my 2020 journal. It's just a bullet journal, and it keeps it stupid simple, because you don't have to write for 15 minutes to be super productive. All I had to do was do this little bullet. Hold on. Mm-hmm. I can't see my video, but that's fine. So these are the habits that I just wanted to implement in January 2020. There's exercise, meditate, read up by 8:30 in the morning, skin routine, and not drinking alcohol. That was a big one, because I started being sober in the beginning of January 2020. And nice. Cutting down alcohol was a really big life-changing moment for me. Mm-hmm. It kind of, just to be a little vulnerable here, to kind of build up to this.
Thank you.
Yeah. In my last term of UBC, I pretty much drank every day. And no matter if it was 9 a.m. or 11 a.m, I would just be at the university pub and I would drink with my friends, or even mm-hmm. drink alone. And I came to a point where I was like, yeah, okay, my body isn't the way it's supposed to be, that I want it to be. Right. And I got sick, like the flu almost like once a month. And mm-hmm. I kind of realized how I didn't love who I was when I drank. And so this was a really big shift, because it was pretty much 4 years of binge drinking. And then it got worse over the years, to a point where, like, if I was sad at home, I would just make myself a martini. Like that uh-huh. was not the best life. And so in January, you can see that I was like still not fully sober, because I still have like blank spots here because I just kept drinking. I tried.
It's a start.
Yeah. So, and over time, and I can look through all of my bullet journaling prompts, you know, it's the little habits that you build every single day. And it kind of got me to this new lifestyle where I meditated and I hold space for myself and I don't have to rely on drinking anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I built this new lifestyle of like exercising as well, consistently, which is great. And when I started building this new lifestyle over 2020, I realized that the people around me started to change too.
Right.
It, you know, like the friends who still like to drink, they can continue drinking, obviously, but I just won't be there anymore. Mm-hmm. And the activities I do with friends now, like go for coffee, go for a walk, play board games. Like those are the things I never thought I'd end up doing. Like right. if you asked me 2 years ago, which is insane. So that's how we started with bullet journaling. And that's how I implemented all of my healthy habits of reading. Like I'm consuming so many books and it's building such great knowledge in my brain and I love it. And then I shifted into this more productive journaling of manifesting. And I guess that's where I want to take us next, is talking about how I journal for my future self.
Ooh. Do you also play chess, or is that just for show?
Okay. So Tam, my partner, he loves chess. He got really obsessed last year in the beginning when COVID first hit. Mm-hmm. And he's really good now. And it's kind of intimidating. I used to play with him
And but now it's just like, I don't want to.
No, like I can't, like he wants to keep practicing and learning, right? But I just play for fun. And so at some point I just like play. And his level of mastery is like way up here and I'm down here and I can't play with him anymore.
Yeah. No, the reason that I ask is obviously chess right now is kind of blown up recently because of like Queen's Gambit and it's even like a big thing on like Twitch and everything like that. Yeah. For those of you who are familiar on that website. So I was just kind of teasing you to see if you guys actually played. And
yeah, he definitely plays. We have a lot of chess books too.
He should start a chess podcast or a chess show, right? That'd be kind of cool. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt your train of thought.
Don't worry. This is great. So yeah, we talked about this for a little bit. But this is my new journal for 2021. This has been a really good one because I learned this from Dr. Benjamin Hardy, who's I think is the number one Medium writer right now. Mm. If not, it might be someone else, but he was number one. So in the front of my journal, I would have snapshot of me, and this is who I am right now. It's all the facts that describes me. Uh-huh. And I have stuff like, I am authentic. I live in an apartment in Carisdale. I practice meditation, manifesting, and daily reflection. I am a leader. I am a digital marketer. I am a conscious, loving, committed partner to Tam. And so that is just like who I am right now, because by the end of 2021, I'm going to be a completely different person with a whole new set of resources.
Right.
And this has been really cool. And the next thing is my future self in 3 years. My future self in 1 year. And this is not really the goals that I have for myself. It's just who I want to embody in 3 years and in 1 year time. Mm-hmm. And next, we talk about, I like to go through life in quarters because it's kind of like you have a business and you talk about your quarterly goals. And mm-hmm. that is exactly what I do. I check out my last 90-day wins. And this is a time to celebrate yourself. And as perfectionists, we tend to forget to celebrate what we have accomplished. And that's not healthy. So yeah. I'm practicing.
Can relate.
Right? Yeah. Even the smallest things, like going for a freaking walk. We forget to go for a walk. And when we do, mm-hmm. celebrate that. And then the next page is wins for the next 90 days. And these wins are more about the goals that you have, the tangible goals. Mm-hmm. And numbers are really important for goals, right? It's kind of like a benchmark for where you're going to end up. And so, for example, my wins for the next 90 days is to get 250 email subscribers to our 2-Minute Mondays newsletter for the 7 AM challenge. I want to enroll 120 people to join the challenge. Meditate for 100 days straight. Blah, 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 but you get the point. Right. And so once you do that, and it's in the front of your page, your journal, right? It's in the front. Mm-hmm. And so you get to reflect on that every single time I journal. And so once I do that, I can reflect on my future goals. And that puts me in a state of like, okay, this is where I want to be in 1 year for my future self. What can I do today that can get me there? Mm-hmm. And so I do journal morning and night, but I don't take too long. Like some people make the mistake of journaling for way too long and then they give up because they think it's too hard. But right. you just have to journal for 5 or 10 minutes and that's all. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of wanted to dive into like what you currently do for journaling right now.
Yeah. Well, thank you for asking that. I love it when my guests kind of turn the tables around, right? It allows me to share also my thoughts. And, you know, at the end, it's obviously this is the guest's kind of time to shine, but I do appreciate that. And we chatted about this when we actually first connected, as I said, in the earlier times of this month or this year. And for me, kind of journaling was prior to 20 to this new year was just like kind of an on and off thing. Like, there'd be days where I like to say I have the time, but in reality, I just wasn't making the time because the time was there. I was just kind of using it as an excuse, but where I would take the time to just write about things either that I was grateful for, or, just honestly, as weird as this may sound, talking to myself in the third person, So like saying like Aaron is really yada, yada, yada. Aaron is excited for this. Aaron is doing like that. And it's just a way for me. And that's kind of the way that I operate. Obviously, everyone's different. And when it comes to various things, but that was just a way for me to journal kind of my thoughts and emotions onto to a piece of paper. Right. I love like the low fidelity of about it. And I still take notes to this day, like on pen and paper. It just feels, as I guess as cheesy as it sounds, as I'm connecting even more with like the tools that I'm using to write and stuff like that. So that was kind of, I guess, the occasional prompts of journaling in the earlier times. But now the way that I've been presented it and the ways that I've been like kind of shown and how I can use journaling in different ways, it's again reflecting of who I am right now today as an individual. And then again, setting up myself for the future. So 3 years, 1 year, similar to the prompts that you showed me, because those were the prompts that you showed me earlier when we were chatting, right? So, and just being able to, again, manifest that and really being able to look at that every day, you know, every night, et cetera, and being able to see, okay, what did I do today? What wins did I do today that pushed me forward to that goal? Or what did I miss that pushing me forward to that goal? And why was the reason that I missed that, right? Or wasn't able to complete those tasks. So I think to summarize, I think journaling is a really very, very powerful tool. I think a lot of people are, I know I was put off by the fact that you got to spend a lot of time, that it requires all this like for me, all the prior experience that I had to journaling or exposure was like all my friends that were mostly females that took like all the time to like make it really pretty and like those bullet journals. And I was like, I ain't got the time for that. I'm not artistic by any means. Like I'm not going to do that. Right. So that was my opinion of journaling, right. Which is completely way off the truth. Right. And it wasn't until I actually just bought, like, I didn't even buy this notebook. I got this, shout out to, I don't know, I don't think they're ever going to listen to this, but Market One Group is the, I've got this at a convent, not a, well, I guess a convention or like an event when events were a thing back in the day. I just won it at a raffle. And this was my first ever like journal or like notebook, right? And I was like, you know what? I'll give it a shot, right? So when I first started utilizing it, it was mostly just writing my to-do list. And I was still a student at the time. So it was like, you know, read this article for this class, finish this, study that. And I started utilizing it as a to-do list, and then I didn't really find it as effective. And then that's when I kind of transitioned to it just as a way, I guess, more or less as a way to express myself for the more like just my thoughts, my emotions, how I felt, what I want to do, where I want to be. And, you know, there are a lot of tools in here or a lot of like, I guess, history. And sometimes I like to just look back at it and, you know, looking at this prompt from 2019, like this was kind of like my journal. Like I had a meeting with Kathleen at 12. I was in a meeting with my friend Jamil and studied, right? So it's just nice to kind of look back of like, wow, where I was, where we've come from, right? And being able to celebrate the successes and the failures as well that we've gone through in these, you know, last couple of, I guess, year and a half ever since I got this journal. And, you know, for today, you know, for this new year, I got a new one. I actually bought this one. Yeah, spent my hard-earned cash because I wanted to ensure that I was starting to see the results of consistent journaling. Obviously, I think consistency for any habit or anything that you do is obviously super critical. But also as well, just I think considering everything that's going on in the world as a way to just kind of create that space for myself and just know that I can dive myself or lose myself, so to speak, in this journaling experience and knowing that I'm setting up myself again for success and a good day, a good month, a good year, a good life, right? So
yeah,
that's a really long answer to your question, but
I have two things about what you said. I really liked that you touched upon gratitude, and I kind of want to share my experience with the 5-minute journal that I do morning and night as well. And this is something that I got from Tim Ferriss. He talked about it a couple of years ago. I know Tim Ferriss, he's the best. And it's great because it has only 3 prompts in the morning and 2 prompts at night. And I do it pretty consistently for the past 6 months now. Mm. But it's basically like, it's got a really great quote at the top. And And then it would start off with, I am grateful for three things. What would make today great? Three things. And a daily affirmation. And in the evening, I come back to it. It would ask me three amazing things that happened today. And lastly, how could I have made today even better? And so what I really liked about this is that gratitude is something that not many people practice. And this kind of ties into this book that I was that I'd read. It's called The Happiness Advantage by Sean Anker. And he talks about how success is actually based on happiness, not the other way around.
Right.
And which is so cool because, you know, it, a lot of times in our life, we're like, oh, once I lose 10 pounds, okay, then I'll be happy. Or like, yeah. once I get that loft, then I'll be happy. Right. Like that doesn't, it actually, it's the other way around. And what's really profound about that book is that it kind of taught me how, if you look for the positive things in life, if
right.
you look, if you're aware of that, your brain is looking for the good things in life instead of the lack, the scarcity, then that will bring up your mood each and every day. And so what's really powerful is that I've incorporated that into my personal relationship and also my life. And I think I gave you this example before, but it's like two guys walk outside and the first guy is like, oh, wow, it's so sunny outside. I love it. It's great. And the second person looks outside and he's like, oh, it's so warm. I don't like that. And those two statements are based on reality. Those are true, but it's just how your brain looks for opportunities versus scarcity, right? And how I kind of practice this, and which I want everyone to practice gratitude every day. I actually specifically have this ritual with my partner. We would say our three thank yous to each other and also one for the world. And once you say it out loud to another person, to another human being, whether it's your friend or your family member or your pet, like honestly, it's so, so
yeah,
nice.
If you're
alone. And right, if you're alone, even just writing it down is so powerful because it kind of trains your brain every single day to look for things to be grateful for. And that kind of ties into that book. And I have the book right here. It's so good. Happiness Advantage.
The Happiness Advantage.
By Sean Anker. It's great. It's based on a lot of psychology and research. And I love that stuff because I came from a biology major. So
I'm still waiting for that Audible sponsorship. So, because we've been talking a lot about books. I think obviously the time of this recording, it's not published yet, but the first episodes of pretty much this year, almost everyone has shared a book or some sort of literature that has helped them to develop, has helped them grow personally, professionally. So, yeah, that was just a kind of like a side tangent. And Tim Ferriss as well, he's been brought up for the last two guests that I've had on the show, his book, The 4-Hour Work Week, and obviously a lot of the other stuff that he also has and everything like that. So yeah, I think books and literature and all that kind of stuff is just really helpful. And, you know, take the time to really just learn and absorb all that information and implement it, I think is such a powerful tool.
Yeah, it's like you have the knowledge, but if you don't take action, then that knowledge is pretty much useless.
Yeah, exactly. You said you had another thing as well, two things?
Yes. Oh, yes. The second thing you touched upon, you talked about consistency. And I love that because it all ties in together, right? Like the morning night routines, you got to be consistent. And what I really love about what you said about consistency is that once you're consistent, you start to become more disciplined. And with discipline, you have freedom. And that's coming from Jocko's quote, discipline equals freedom, right? Like once you have that set morning night routine, you actually have the freedom to do what you want to do. You have that time for yourself. You have that time for whatever it is you want to create. So yeah, super passionate about morning night routines. Discipline equals freedom. Love it. Thanks for bringing up consistency.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's something that, you know, I think is obviously it's hard to master because of the lack of discipline, right? And everything along those lines. And I think it's kind of once you get to that area of not even expertise, but just being able to apply it in your life, I think is important. So I wanted to kind of shift gears a little bit here, and you touched upon a little bit with when you're explaining your journal. And again, thank you for sharing that with us today. But also like manifesting and something that's important in your life, I imagine. So maybe we can dive like a little bit deeper into that. Cause again, that was a topic that's been brought up relatively, I think a couple of few times now. in the last couple of episodes that we've had our guests on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I kind of got into manifesting first with this book called Think and Grow Rich, and it's been introduced to me by Tony Robbins. And he is notorious for like loving this book. He used to read it as a 16-year-old every single day. Mm-hmm. And he had this quote. He was like, oh, like, why isn't this manifesting thing working for me? And then his like mentor was like, just read Think and Grow Rich every single day. And he's like, oh, okay. It's really weird. But not only that, it's like something that Terry Crews practices. He talks extensively about picking up the secret book or master success of key book. I can't really remember the title, but mm-hmm. it's basically about putting your own being into that place where you want to be. It's really hard to kind of explain in a really short time, but I'm going to give it a try where
yeah.
You're putting your mind and state into the future self. And in your future self, you have all the resources that you have to succeed in whatever you want, right? And so once you're in this state of like, oh, I have everything that I need, I have everything that I need to succeed, then in present moment time, you actually have the confidence and the mindset to be able to take action and get to where you want to be. And so this has been a really powerful tool for me. I practiced it since the summer, but mm-hmm. I didn't really get like hardcore into it since like my depressing month.
Yeah, that timeline there.
Yeah. And so what had happened was I wrote in my journal in the present tense of, let's say, 1 year. So I would go like, okay, in December 31st, 2021, I am 24 years old and I've got this awesome job where I work remote. I have amazing coworkers who are all over the world and they show their dogs for on Zoom meetings for me. We have pizza parties on Wednesdays and ooh. I'm doing creative work. I have freedom to do my work and I'm just chilling in my beach house in Mexico and living the life by eating fresh cut mangoes and whatever. So this is all just coming to me right now, but that is basically what I do. I write in the present tense. So I feel excited. I feel the ecstasy and I feel the joy when I write on the page. And once I do that every single day, I did that for every single day. And in 3 weeks time, I got a job that aligned so closely with what I manifested. And that was crazy to me because that was the first time manifesting actually came to life for me.
Right.
And, you know, once I had that page written of manifestations, I was able to turn away jobs that didn't align with what I wanted, even though I was so, so desperate for money. And like I turned down offers. I turned down interviews. But what I like to think about it is that manifesting actually guided me to the job that I have now. And mm-hmm. this job is freaking awesome. I can't believe how closely it aligns with my goals. And so that's kind of my introduction to how Manifest came into my life. And I now practice it twice or three times a week. Mm-hmm. And I just write in my journal in present tense, 3 years or 1 year or even about my day. And I got the day thing from Hugh Jackman when he was talking about his, yeah.
Wolverine?
He talked to, yeah. Wolverine.
Hugh Jackman.
Yes. He does this morning journaling where he writes about his day as if he was at 9 p.m. of the day. So at 9 a.m. or let's say at 6 a.m. he's journaling and he's like, mm-hmm. it's 9 p.m. of today. And I had such an amazing day.
I
spent
okay.
lots of time with my kids. I spent a great morning with my wife. And I worked on memorizing scripts for the rest of my day. Today was great. And it was very short, obviously. And at mm-hmm. 9 p.m. the same night, he could look over what he'd written in the morning. And he'd go like, oh, yeah, 9 out of 10. It really aligned with what I'd written in the morning. Or sometimes it'd be like, oh, 6 out of 10. I didn't get to spend as much time with my kids as I thought. And when I heard him talk about this day journaling, he basically manifested his day. And it kind of clicked in my head, like, this is something that I could do to keep aligned with, you know, being in flow, or keep aligned with what I needed to get done, how to nourish my body, when to nourish my body. Like, sometimes I forget to eat because we get into flow. And so that kind of manifesting really brought a lot of hope into my life. And this hope keeps my drive going. Sometimes, like, oh gosh, when I was applying for jobs, it was the worst time, because you get rejections after rejections, and you, the act of doing it is so menial that I don't want to do it. Like, I just don't want to. And so when I started manifesting, it gave me this hope, like, okay, this is the one step I have to take to get to where I want to be. Like, I can't just let job hunting stop me from my future dream job. And so once I manifested and I felt that excitement of getting my dream job, that was the drive that kept me going, right? Oh God, I can't even go back to job hunting anymore. I just don't even want to think about it.
It's definitely not fun. It's definitely not fun. And, you know, as you brought up right now, like, you go through a lot of ups, and it's like a roller coaster, right? I feel like that kind of period of time where you're applying, you feel really good. You're like, you're looking at the job description. You're like, yeah, I can do that. Yo, I can do that. Yeah. And it's like, and where it says, whatever is an asset, and you're like, I have that, I'm an asset. You just feel really good. And then obviously, you know, push comes to shove. Sometimes you don't even get like an actual email. Sometimes it's just like an automation and no, or sometimes you don't even hear back. And like 6 months later, it's actually happened to me where I applied to a job and I literally, you know, I'm not too sure exactly how many, like how much time after the application, but let's say for the sake of the discussion, I think it was like 6 months, and they're like, hi, Aaron, we've looked over your resume. Unfortunately, I'm just like, I applied to it. Like, how long ago is this? Like, at, like, what? Like, I don't know about you, but when I'm applying to jobs, like, I want to apply because I need a job, like, now, not six now. Months down the raid, right? Or down the road. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely not fun, but I'm obviously very happy to hear that you don't have to go through that anymore, because it's definitely, it's exhausting. Yeah, it's an exhausting journey. It's a long one, and it's one that you know, does go a lot of ups and downs in terms of your emotions, right? Because then you got to go through the interviews and stuff like that.
Totally. I just want to touch upon something that I like to get into. It's called changing state, and it's the physiological of your day, right? Your state is, you know, if you start off the day feeling anxious, your day is probably going to end up being anxious. And so when you manifest, you're putting your body and mind into the state of hope and ecstasy. And once you do that, like, it just all kind of falls into pieces. Like, once you're happy, you feel this drive to work, you feel success already. And so I kind of want to talk about diving a little deeper into like the manifesting structure.
For sure.
And I did do a little example, but I just really loved doing these manifestings in the 7 AM challenge, and like introducing people to this. It makes me so happy, because when they start manifesting for the first time, they don't realize how big their dreams are. And they're like, holy shit, like, I wrote that. I want this. Okay. So this is really cool. So for example, I'm going to actually pull it up on my Notion doc, actually, because this was a really great thing that I shared with everybody in the 7 AM challenge the other day.
Notion.
So, yeah. Wait, do you know Notion?
Yeah, I love app? It. I use it every day.
Cool. Yeah, super nice. Okay, so what had happened was I shared this with everybody, and it's very new, but I'm going to just trying to go through the structure. Mm-hmm. So you would start off with the date, holy shit, and my age. So that gets you really excited. So you go like, it's December 31st, 2023. Holy shit, I'm 26 years old. And when you say holy shit, you're like, oh yeah, your brain is like, okay, there's something cool that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And after, it's hype. Yes. And you go into present tense constantly. So you're going to like, I went like, I'm in my patio in Spain, and Tam's cooking up eggs in the kitchen for us. I'm absolutely loving my job with the company I'm at, and I'm earning $120,000 a year. And notice I have monetary value, because you would have to have a set value for your brain to kind of get to that pinpointed goal.
Yeah.
And even though it could be an impossible goal that you might not reach, at least something that's a number that you're excited for. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, monetary value. And then I would be really specific with the environment I'm in. I hear the ocean. My dog is sleeping in the sun. Our living room has like huge, huge windows to let the sunlight pour in. And that kind of gets me excited to where I will be in 3 years. And once you have that environment described, then you can start describing about your career or your relationship or your lifestyle, because those areas of life can be really important to you now. And you can start getting to really, really deep, deep details that makes you really, really happy. And once you kind of get that going, this can be for like 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but you should start feeling that energy, that joy inside of you, that happiness. Because if you're not feeling the joy or happiness from what you're writing, you're probably not writing about the right things. So this is a really good exercise because it kind of pushes you to actually think about what you really desire. A lot of times we go right through the life and the motion and you forget that there's important things in life more to just work. And uh-huh. So this is a really good exercise, and I kind of want to get your take on like what had happened for you when you started manifesting.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's all relatively new. Like, obviously it's still something that I'm still learning and trying to like implement, you know, as part of like, as you mentioned, a routine or part of my life. But I think for me, it was the ability to just reflect. Right. And I think starting off with that thing that you mentioned earlier, the prompt that you mentioned earlier about your who you are like today, like, and saying exact breaking it down to the T, and also who you want to be in 3 years and who you want to be in a year, right? So being able to do that, I think really it's almost like an overlap with also the gratitude aspect and being grateful of how where I'm able to be right now because of the experiences that I've had growing up and all the learnings and the risks, etc. But also being aware of that there's still so much more to like live for almost. Right. And you know, we're both you're 23, you said. Yeah. Right. So we're both the same age, 97 babies. Let's go. And just being able to look even down the road of like 5 years or 3 years, et cetera. And just being able to think of there is still so much more that I want to achieve. And I still want to be in different areas of life, you know, I brought it up earlier, but you know, for me, a goal of mine still is to be able to move to Toronto. Right. And just being able to manifest that in the sense of doing that prompt that you had just mentioned, and just thinking of exactly of what I'm doing in Toronto, who I'm with, and also being able to manifest things for other people within your own prompts, I think is super powerful as well. And understanding that it's also the people that surround you and your loved ones, your friends and family, partners, et cetera. And being able to kind of tie that all together of, you know, I'm in Toronto, my brother's doing well, my mom and dad are doing well, I can help them in terms of any financial needs. They don't have to worry about anything. My brother's doing his own thing with his partner and everything along those lines, we're just bringing kind of this energy and almost, yeah, at the end of the day, you're manifesting things that are tangible, that are monetary into your life, and being able to see that, as you mentioned earlier, you might not achieve them. You know, you might not reach your salary goal, your subscriber goal, whatever goals you might have, but you're putting that amount of number and that kind of energy into your life where you know, and continuously adapting through journaling and being able to look at how each day you're getting closer to your 1 year, 3 year, 5 year goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And I would even say like in the 7 a.m. challenge, you were probably the first person to manifest things for other people. And mm-hmm. that's really powerful too. I never actually thought of that. So thank you for bringing forward that awesome possibility. And one thing I want to touch upon, it's like something my boss said actually, because she also did the 7 a.m. challenge, and I was really excited that she did it. I know, it was great. But she had a meeting with me and she was like, I absolutely love that we get to manifest and put your intentions out into the world. Mm-hmm. And she said specifically for me, she was like, you know, you put your intention out into the world of getting 10,000 subscribers and doing a remote job because you value travel and having a work-life balance so much. And she said, when you do that, when you put your intention into the world and exposing it, sharing it, people are going to come flocking to you with opportunities and possibilities for you, and they're going to try to help you. Mm-hmm. And you're brave enough to put it out into the world. It's, you know, no one's going to judge you for it. So yeah. I really, really like what she said about that, because we keep our dreams secret. A lot of mm-hmm. people do, because they're afraid that it's not going to happen. They're afraid they're going to fail. They're afraid mm-hmm. that people are going to judge them.
Yeah, but they'll think it's stupid,
like,
or something.
Yeah, exactly. And dude, Mr. Beast did that like 5 years ago. Yeah. He posted a video. He was like, hey, future self.
Yeah, look where he is right now, selling hamburgers.
That's exactly. Yeah, selling hamburgers, getting millions of subscribers.
Millions of views. Yeah, no, he's changed the YouTube space for sure. But yeah, I think it's not, and again, it boils down to one of the things that is touched upon and one of the common themes with this podcast in particular. I think it's because of the people that I have the chance to chat with, is the amount of risks that you take and the amount of getting out of your comfort zone is super important. And, you know, at the end of the day, I know personally, I wouldn't be, you know, in this chair, in this opportunity and having this podcast, if I didn't take those, you know, those risks and stepped out of my comfort zone, right? No, you're never ready for anything. I think that's like another saying that you always hear, right? You're never fully prepared for anything, but if you always will wait for that moment to be fully prepared, that moment will never come. So
yeah, and I would even say, like, some people are afraid to take the step because they don't know how. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to get there. They don't know how right. to get to where they want to be. But there's the thing I like to say is, once you know and you get a strong enough why, the how will mm-hmm. come. It will come. It's just like, if you manifest a great lifestyle, like, why is that lifestyle important to you? If you don't know your why, that's not gonna make you happy, right? So yeah, it's a really great exercise that I've been implementing into my life, and it's given me a lot of hope for my future, and I know it will come because I've manifested a lot of things now and they've all came. So it's really, really cool.
And I think the final thing here before we move on to the next kind of section of the podcast, but like, just being able to also check up on people, right? And just being able to check up on them in like a month's time, 3 months' time, 6 months' time, of like, you know, hey, Aaron, or, you know, hey, Beck, what, how are you doing so far with your goals? And it's like, you feel almost like you're also not even just doing it for yourself, but also being able to show people that, like, you're there to support me. And having that support system, I think, is super critical as well and crucial, and almost, I think, even now more than ever, where obviously we're not seeing each other physically, but in a remote setting, right? And having like things like the 7-day, 7 a.m. challenge, which we'll touch upon here in a second. But and just being able to have that support system of, we're all in it together, right? It's like that High School Musical, right? Like, we're cue the music right in now. Yeah.
There you go. Dance.
Yeah, exactly. And again, as I don't even want to say cheese anymore, because it's so true, really. It really is, right? We're all in this world together. We're all wanting to achieve different things. And if we can support each other in one way or another, like, why is it not to say that, you know, you can achieve your goal while helping to achieve mine, or vice versa, right?
Exactly.
And again, like, one of the things that's important. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, in a year, I'm gonna message you and be like, hey, you in Toronto yet?
Yeah, that's the goal. I'll be freezing probably, because I am not ready for the weather, but it'll be just another thing that I have to adapt to. But yeah, like, that's the, I'm hopefully, you know, I'm manifesting it right now. I'm hopefully ringing in the new year in Toronto. So that's all what it boils down to, right? But let's kind of hear, again, change the pace a little bit and talk about the 7 days, 7 a.m. challenge. Obviously, a big thing that's been kind of going on in your life these last couple of months, something that I've had the honor and privilege to be a part of as well. But let's chat about that a little bit more here, and let the people know kind of what it's about. And I think we did little nits and pieces here and there, but we'll just do a little big recap for that.
Tie it in together. Yeah,
tie sure. it in together.
So the 7 day, 7 a.m. challenge, it's a space where we have awesome, awesome, high value people, right? High value people like yourself, Aaron. And so, <Thank you. laughs> so what we do on the call, we go from 7:10 in the morning PST until 7:50. And during that time, we share different varieties of stretches and meditations and breath work. And so Tam and I lead it. we set up each week. It's actually a weekly thing. So it used to be biweekly, but we were like, oh my gosh, the demand is there. We want to do it weekly. So it goes Monday to Saturday. We take a break on Sunday, and then everybody comes back for their last session or their first session on Monday. And what we do, we lead people, right? We lead people into these morning routines that they can try. We also bring in some night routines that they could try, some stretching, some qigong, some fiery breath work, and yoga. You know, we incorporate our friends' yoga yoga teachings. Like our friend Maddie, she is an aspiring yoga teacher, so she teaches us yoga. We have this new person, Leo, in this community, who's teaching us EFT tapping, emotional freedom technique tapping. And so all these things that we kind of put in together into our calls is to set people up and give people the tools and resources they need so they can have great night and morning routines. They can start winding down early. They can start getting up with energy and drive to work on their future self. And so, you know, each call, I think the best thing that everybody has been loving is the journaling and the sharing part. And what's really cool is that the journaling is always different. We do daily journaling that are short. We do some manifesting journaling, but we always bring in new prompts for people to try. And after, when people share, people feel vulnerable, it's authentic, and you have a community, which is something that we're kind of missing these days.
Yeah.
So it's really good, right? So It's something unexpected that came out from the 7-day, 7 a.m. challenge, because it used to be just focused solely on activities that people can do to do night and morning routines. But people have been loving the sharing part, so we decided to like expand that. And yeah, honestly, it's been awesome. We've been doing this for 2.5 months now, and we have 50 members. So it's been really, really good.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. So first of all, I would just like to say like a big thank you to you for obviously doing that. And I think is where you took a time of your life that was obviously very difficult, a lot of hardships there, and you almost like blossomed into this person that's now giving back to the community and helping others that are struggling again with their routines, night, morning, and also just as a way to help people manifest, right? And be able to bring, again, I guess, goals into their life, and in ways that I think honestly without the exposure to things like this would not be possible. So I like to give my hat off, my imaginary hat off to you.
Thank you.
So thank you again for taking the time, first of all, for sharing all of that, for being open and honest with us, transparent. I really do appreciate that. I think this is one of the powerful things that comes from this podcast, is just that it's like a no filter, but not in the sense that, you know, we're swearing and saying terrible things every like 2 seconds, but more just as a no filter, as a way for people to open up and be transparent and authentic. Right. And I think a lot of our listeners do learn from that and value that, because, you know, at the end of the day, we're not all different. Right. And we share a lot of similarities, a lot of hardships, a lot of successes. So we all want to see each other succeed and come together, I think, as a group to build a great life for ourselves. That's obviously what we want to do. And for, you know, our future family, if that's something that we want to do in the long term. I'll have kids not anytime soon, but gotta set them up for success, you know? So thank you so much, Beck. I really do appreciate it. Where can people find you if they want to chat with you a little bit more about journaling? I forgot to ask actually one thing, and it just popped into my mind, completely random, by the way, but any like brand or any recommendations for journals? I just went with like one that was on sale because it was a Black Friday deal, but
okay. Yeah. Let's talk about that. Super random. This one I got from True Red, TRURED. Uh-huh. And I really like the flexibility that it gives me because of the dotted lines. Ooh. So I'm not loving the lined journals. So I have one, but this is more about like feelings and like what I've learned and whatever. This is a really deep journal. I'm not going to share this one.
Yeah. Nope.
And this one I bought this year, but I use Moleskin a lot. I don't know how to pronounce it. Moleskine.
Yeah.
This one is blank. I really like how I can like think as I write with this one, but my pens kind of bleed through and I can see the back of each page. So I don't love that. I don't really recommend this one, but,
True Red. For sure on that one.
I just, I really like how journaling is like a process for people to think. So every time you write, you can think. Every time you read a book, you write on it, you're thinking about it. And that just implements what you read into action. So yeah, thanks for asking. That's a really good question.
Yeah, I was just curious because I knew the very little knowledge that I know, obviously, from journals or like the actual journals themselves, is I knew that Moleskine, whatever, is the the go-to kind of like the...
They are. I do have a couple of theirs.
The Gucci of journaling, at least that's what I've heard. I didn't know that until I bought it. I mean, it's nice. But yeah, I was just curious if you had any recommendations. But where can people find you if they want to chat more about journaling, manifestation, all the things that we chatted in today's episode, or if they want to sign up for the 7-day, 7 a.m. challenge or learn more about that, where can they find you and have a little chat?
Yeah, for sure. So the website for the 7-day, 7 a.m. challenge is www.7day7am.com.
Oh, okay, I almost screwed that up.
Yeah, 7day7am.com. And people can always DM me on Instagram. And my Instagram is Beck Wilde, BECKWILDE. That is a secondary account. My primary account is not super professional yet, so I'm not going to share that one. But yeah, people can definitely chat with me there. I will always be happy to answer any questions and to talk more about how to set them up properly for better morning and night routines. So that's that.
Love it. So yeah, I'll make sure to put all of the links in the podcast description, and since this is a video version as well, I'll put it on YouTube if anyone wants to chat with Beck or learn more about the 7-day 7 a.m. challenge. I'll try to, once I do all the editing as well, I'll put the links of the books that we discussed as well here at the bottom, just so that if you do want to take a look at that and learn more about them, I'll probably put an Audible and an Amazon link there as well. I'm not sponsored, but it's probably the easiest to find it. Yeah. And thank you again for taking the time. I really do appreciate it. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for being open and vulnerable with not just myself, but with all our listeners as well. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what you and Tam and the rest of the community do for the new year. So I'm excited for you.
Yeah, I'm excited. I want to show more people what this is all about. So thank you for having me on this show.
Yeah, no worries. It's been a pleasure. Thank you again, everyone, for tuning in. This was episode number 43. Yeah, 43 of Beneath Vancouver Radio. Thank you again for tuning in, and I will catch you on next week's episode. Take care, everyone. Adios.